Now, I suppose even after saying all of this, that this soft generation may still have a generation gap between themselves and God, and they'll still think this is extreme surgery. But it does reveal that our God is a jealous God, that He's sovereign in all His dealings, and those who come to Him must come on His terms. It's still true that to obey is better than sacrifice, and God will not accept will worship. The high position of these men granted them no immunity. The sudden execution of judgment here, I think, is startling. There is no escaping the statement, "Far from the Lord." This is not foreign to the age of grace. It may not be as sudden, but it's equally as sure. Listen to Paul, 1 Corinthians 11:30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, it was sudden as well as sure. Nadab and Abihu, I don't think they lost their salvation. Neither did Ananias and Sapphira. And it's very clear from the following verses that the judge believers did not lose their salvation either. In 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." God judges His own today. And physical death is sometimes a judgment for the child of God. There is a sin unto death. It's a physical death, and the child of God is not condemned with the world. And the judgment in all of these cases, in both Old and New Testaments, is not eternal condemnation. It is an example to believers that will worship is detestable to God, and the believer must come God's way. The believing sinner is urged to come God's way, by the way. In fact, he's told to come with boldness unto the holiest today by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God makes a difference, friends. I tell you, this idea today that God doesn't move in, and Paul could say, you remember the Corinthians, "And some are sick among you because you've come the wrong way in the Lord's Supper." And there can be other ways. Let me be very personal to you. A friend of mine who knows me very well, and he could say this. He said, "McGee, since you have cancer and God has permitted you to live as long as you have and still in your body, have ever occurred to you that maybe it is a judgment from God?" And I told this brother, I said, "You know, I've waked up in the stillness and darkness of the night, and I thought just that and cried out to Him. May I say to you, I wouldn't exclude myself at all. And when I say these things to you today, remember there's a fellow talking to you that knows what he's talking about, and that he can still say that God does all things well." What an illustration we have here. God is coming forth someday in fiery judgment upon the lost world. You bet He is. Don't try to hide your head under sand like an ostrich, my friend. God judges, and He'll judge His own today. I believe and know that He does that. And Peter could say, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" 1 Peter 4:18. Now we are told, "Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace, and Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aziel, the uncle of Aaron, said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said." You see, when the news spread throughout the hosts of Israel, a people must have gathered about the tabernacle to view the dead bodies of these young men. And Moses quoted the words of the Lord as the explanation for the judgment. Let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And those who have been brought into a particular nearness to God must exercise a sharp insight into the holiness and righteous demands of God. In Amos 3:2, listen to this. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. God judges His saints today to let the world know that He punishes. And He does judge. And I think Aaron's attitude and conduct are noticeable. He maintains a demeanor of silence. There's no cry of disappointment, grief, or resentment toward God. He bows in heartbroken submission to the will of God. Aaron can say nothing against the sovereign will of God, though his grief must have been deep here. God says to them, I'll be sanctified.